So what do you all know about desire? Tonight we're discussing the fire of desire. What do you know about desire?
It's when the mind tries to convince you that you want or need something.
When the mind tries to convince you that you want or need something. So you seem to be implying that desire should be avoided, but the mind tries to convince you to desire.
I think there are different levels of desire. I think there's positive desire and negative desire.
So what is positive desire?
A desire to attain consciousness would be a positive desire, because without that, we aren't driven to it.
A desire to attain consciousness? Yeah, you already are conscious, regardless of...
No consciousness.
Oh.
And then there's lower desire.
Okay.
Material.
And? What is your experience with desire?
We always have desires, no matter what. Material or spiritual.
You'll always have it,
yeah.
No matter what type it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever wonder about that in your early life? Why do I have desires?
Okay.
You just acted on them and worried about them later. Desires in living. And what is your experience with desire?
Some of the same with Matt, really.
Never thought about it until recently?
Until Matt started telling me things and then I read it over again.
So what did you think the first time? You read the whole thing?
I haven't read all of it yet. I'm not checked out yet, so I'm still going.
So what did you think as you started reading?
What about it missing? What have I been thinking? But everyone's always heard about karma and things like that. But until you really read it, you don't really. You're always understanding and you're always learning. But now I'm a lot more careful about the desires I have.
Whereas before, you didn't even think about it.
Not really, no.
I want this, I want that, and that's the way it is, right?
Yeah.
Martin, what is your experience with desire?
It takes you from A to B. It takes you on a journey.
So if you didn't have desire, you wouldn't go on any journey, yeah?
Do
you think it's possible to have no desire?
Maybe if you can put the Krishna consciousness in, if no desire is in Krishna consciousness, then yes. But don't you desire Krishna like eternity for eternity?
No desire? Well, that would be a difficult thing to say. To do. As Matt said, you always have desire. It's just a question of what kind of desire it is. Bruce, what would you say about desire?
I think it's interesting how it can cause conflict. Well, there's part of you that wants to do something, there's part of you that doesn't. That'll judge a desire to say that's a good one or that's a bad one. But even if you, I could say I desire Krishna consciousness, but there's also a part of me that doesn't want that. Presumably if I desire it with all my heart, I would spend all my time cultivating Krishna consciousness. But I don't.
So you're saying that means you have other desires?
Yeah, and they were in conflict with each other.
Oh, like what? Can you give us an example, a real live example?
Real life.
For the folks back home in TV land.
chocolate cake, coffee, all these material desires that I would...
Hey, that's as bad as it gets. You're doing pretty good.
This is a real life family example.
Just chocolate cake or coffee, yeah?
Well, even those material desires that... I know I should rise above.
No, I go up, for example.
Well, okay, have a coffee and a chocolate cake.
That's all?
No, that's my material.
Those are your only vices?
I gave up coffee and chocolate. I gave up spending money for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
The things I spend money on and find it difficult not to is the coffee and chocolate cake.
Those are your worst vices.
No, of course not.
I know. What's your experience with desire?
First came to mind was a want,
So, how do you evaluate your wants or your needs? You just let it flow, you know, with it goes the flow. Whatever the wants are, whatever the needs are.
Within reason.
Within reason.
Mm.
No. Within reason.
Mm.
Yeah. But who makes the standard for what's reasonable? I was reading, because I go to Russia a lot, a city called St. Petersburg. I'm studying a bit of the history of St. Petersburg, and during World War II, Hitler and the German army had a plan that they would bring St. Petersburg to its knees by blockading the city and preventing any food or fuel or water from power from getting into the city. And that way, they didn't care whether the people in the city starved or to death or froze to death, because it's the middle of the winter, way up north. So they did that for 2.5 years. Blockaded the city, prevented all food, fuel, and water from getting in. Meanwhile, they were pounding the city with artillery and an aircraft. So it all made, it sounded within reason, you know. That's how you win a war. You harass the civilians, starve the civilians, freeze the civilians. Eventually the blockade was broken after 2.5 years, and 10,000 buildings in the city were destroyed, and 1 million people out of 3 million were killed, either through bombs, hunger, or cold, or whatever. So it all seemed within reason. According to Hitler's logic, St. Petersburg was the center of Jewish communism, so therefore wanted to wipe off the face of the earth. It all made sense to him. I guess it all made sense to his generals. I guess it all made sense, at least partially, to hundreds of thousands of soldiers who were fighting. So you say within reason, but that's what leaves the door wide open. Hitler had it all reasoned out, and the people were convinced. Sounds like to me we need something stronger than just saying, well, within reason. Anyone else? sorry, what is your name again?
Phil.
Phil, yeah. What do you think about desire?
I was thinking about the coffee they got mentioned actually. I always wake up wanting coffee in the morning. money's another good one. Desire to spend money.
So coffee? That's your biggest vice, huh?
No, probably money.
You just want money.
Spending money?
Oh, spending money.
Yeah.
On anything.
Well,
So it's not exactly that you just desire the money, you desire the things that money can buy, right?
Yes.
And what's your favorite expenditure?
Buying tools.
Tools?
Yeah.
Ladies call that stuff guys' things.
No.
Tools. Buying tools. Sounds thrilling, huh? Buying tools. Whenever the men start making fun of the ladies, about the ladies buying clothes and cosmetics, ladies always reply, you know, let me get your guys' things. It's buying tools. You buy tools too?
Not really.
Just any kind of tool, huh? Just to have around the house, huh?
Where is the builder, so anything that I need, right? The building, right?
Mm-hmm. So you're always on the lookout for the best tools, right?
Yeah, or, you know, cheap bargains or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, do you have any idea how desire might be helping or ruining your life? It's a good thing. Your line of work deals with desires, advertising. You're spending the taxpayers' money, you know, getting the small businesses to make ads in order to, and, you know, arouse everyone's desires. The idea is that the more ads there are, the more healthy the economy is. So what do you notice about desire either adding to your life or ruining your life?
Well, I have positive and negative desires and negative ones. Alcohol, which creates or heightens illusions.
So do you actually desire the alcohol, or is it something the alcohol may seem to bring?
Well, when I drink alcohol, I attain a certain feeling that's quite pleasant, but I don't think that's necessarily a positive thing or a positive thing.
So you don't desire just the alcohol in of itself?
No.
You desire the effect that the alcohol brings?
Yeah.
What is that effect? Yeah, what's the effect of alcohol? Start feeling good, you think?
Keep
crying.
Huh?
Can you
look at it?
Huh? Can you look at it? What are you trying to attain? Yeah. Well, what is it? I don't know. Tell me. What are you trying to attain with alcohol?
Happiness.
Happiness.
Become more sociable.
Huh?
Become more sociable.
You're sociable, you loosen up at parties, and seems like everything you say is witty. Everybody laughs at it. That's it, huh?
I spend money on things that I don't need, like decorating my house or buying clothes.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you do that? I spend money on things I don't need, but that, what is it that you're desiring? You're trying to get to that. get our hands on the actual thing that's going on here. Like you say, oh, I spend money on things I don't need, for the house. You're doing that because you have some desires. Now, what are those desires? Let's try to get to the bottom of all this.
I think it's about, I do find my aim in those things, which I know is not.
All right, let's say you're off to buy some clothes. Now, why? What are the desires that you're fulfilling when you buy the clothes? You walk into wherever you...
It's the feel of the fabric. It's all the, you know, the senses. It's the look of it, the feel of the fabric. It's the way I feel when I'm wearing it.
But what is it exactly you desire?
Okay.
Let's say, okay, you walk into a boutique.
Happiness.
You walk into a boutique on Lambton Key. And, oh, look at that. And the sales... You know, the sales lady tells you, yes, this is the latest fashion, you know. Instead of having the hole here, the hole is here. Or the hole is there. You know, instead of the slit here, the slit is somewhere else. And that looks nice, yes. But what are you hoping by wearing?
To
be noticed or?
Attracted to others.
Ah, to be attracted to others. To be thought of, to be sought after. So when you walk into a room, head snap up, and then you know, yes. This is how it should be. Is that it?
Well, I think I've been examining and observing how much I do for others. It's that theory that if there's no one else in the world, but those things be important. So it's all about looking good.
Looking good, so that others, so you can feel that others are seeking you, or?
Well, I think it comes primarily from a lack of confidence, or lack of, to need that, acceptance from
Alright, anyone else?
You're trying to satisfy yourself. You're trying to satisfy something that it can never be satisfied.
Really?
You're doing something material.
Alright, let's say Bridget, you've grown up in living,
yeah.
And so what has been your experience with desire? You just thought, you never thought about it, as you said, you just thought, hey, you know. Sometimes you want things, you try to get them.
Mm. Once you do get them, you want
more. Yeah, that's
not enough. Mm-hmm. So why is that? Anyone else had an experience that even if you get what you want, you're not satisfied, you want more?
Mm-hmm.
You had an experience, Bruce, or you just give you your coffee and your chocolate?
It's like being hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can eat and satisfy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're going to be hungry again.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much you eat,
mm-hmm.
you're always going to become hungry again.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess most desire the life out. You know, you can feel the desire, you know, immediately right now, and don't feel like have for a while, but it's, you're going to get hungry again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to
last. So what do you do then?
Well, you go and don't eat again.
Really? Or you don't try to conquer the desire, you just give in.
Yeah, I've conquered a few desires, not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever would.
Not unless you desire to.
Not unless you desire to.
Anyone else ever tried to conquer some of their desires? Which desires?
Smoking.
Did you win?
Yes. And I did not have alcohol for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really good.
Up until now, or?
Up until 3 years ago.
And then?
one way to cultivate my kin.
Well, what got you started again after you...
I think I was emotionally unwell, and I wanted that false feeling of confidence.
So you licked it for 8 years, and then you gave in again.
And I think when I gave in again, I didn't realize what it does to me on all levels, not just on a physical level.
Matt, did you ever try to conquer desire in your previous days?
Yeah, many a time.
Like what, for example?
I would cigarette smoking, I'd smoke for a while and get it up, and a lot of things. It was very hard. And I found the only way to do it was trying to be by reading Bhagavad Gita and just trying to get them to be fully satisfied, so I'd stay satisfied and not desire all these things I didn't need.
So you tried to conquer lower desire with higher desire.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, you ever think about desire and how to conquer it?
Yeah, wallpaper. Super exciting. This short figure was like the worst voice that I had.
Many people tell me giving up cigarettes is harder to do than giving up any other kind of addictive substance. Nicotine is more addictive than...
Quite true. But I kind of get to a balance point and I figure all my new spices is kind of okay, you know. I get to get to a point a bit wrong like that's the rest of it.
Well, how many of you all think there's hope in your life for making a permanent victory over desire? You need to be more comfortable? You're okay.
Oh, okay.
How do you plan to do this? A permanent victory over desire?
I think finally it's mine.
Identifying with your...
The absolute part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And having it gone.
Anyone else have plans how to conquer desire? Now, it seems that a lot of you understand that you cannot extinguish desire, you can't annihilate desire. You simply have to find out what is proper desire. One has to learn how to desire the right things. So the problem is not so much that we have desire, the problem is that we don't know how to desire correctly. A big part of Bhakti Yoga, Krishna Consciousness, is for teaching people how to desire correctly. We never say that they should eradicate their desires. We say they should learn how to desire in the best way. Now, how does that sound, Bruce? Does that sound like there's hope to desire in the best way?
There's certainly hope. Certainly hope.
But there's also a past conditioning.
Well, yes. it's dropping a lot of things I've learned up until, I started thinking about these sort of things a few years ago. So that's 27, 28 years of conditioning I have to drop. To consume is good. I'm raised in a capitalist society. You know, I've learned to spend and to desire material things. That there is a different way, there's a new idea. So there's a lot of things to drop there. I wish it was easy. No.
Why? That's a good point he's raised. I wish it was easy. It's a popular notion that it's not easy to drop desires. What makes you think it's not easy?
Not easy because of my own conditioning. It's not easy because of what my family will think, of what my friends will think, of others, what they'll...
They'll get on your case, hey, you're not desiring
anymore. Well, yeah. So I can see that they would say you're desiring the wrong things. I mean, if I devoted my life to Christian consciousness, I'm sure a few people that are close to me would look at me very strange.
Why? What would they say?
The same thing I would have said 4 or 5 years ago to somebody that was doing it. What are you doing?
So, you would have said that 4 or 5 years ago. Does that mean you had something better to do, or?
Well, I was consuming.
You're right.
Well, I didn't even think about these sort of things.
But still, you would say, what are you doing? You're becoming your psychologist. What are you doing? Why? What's it about? What would be the, what's the thing that you would have become disturbed by? What are you doing?
Yeah. I guess looking at the goals, well, not even knowing what the goals were, I guess it's a misguided view of being useless. If someone was trying to be an All Black, let's say, good. If someone was trying to be a ballerina, something I do not value as such, I would say, well, that's, desiring to be an All Black is better than desiring to be a figure skater. Because figure skating is something I've got no previous connection to, value of.
But you were a rugby player, so.
I was a rugby player, so you can follow those skills. The same as if someone wanted to become rich and have lots of money, I'd say that's great. If someone said, well, I'm going to become a Christian consciousness and search for the absolute truth, then I'd go, what's that? Where's the value? Am I making any sense?
Yeah. But we're trying to get to your underlying assumption. It looks to you, it would 5 years ago it looked to you, and it still looks to some of your friends that spiritual endeavors, serious spiritual endeavors, are just like not important.
Why do I not believe in them? I guess that's the question.
So you're saying if your friends or family found out, they would kind of...
I'm dabbling in Christian consciousness. I certainly haven't made a life commitment towards it. And that's a step that at the moment I'm not prepared to make. Because I guess other desires that are in conflict.
Wanting to eat ice cream every day, or wanting to drink coffee every morning.
Yeah. Pride. Fitting in, I guess.
But let's really deal with this now. Okay. Let's say Bruce, you call up your friends or family, you know, I'm getting into that, you know, Krishna consciousness, and, you know, I kind of like it. What would they say? Just Bruce, you gone mad? Or would they say,
I'm imagining the reaction of my father, and that would be rather extreme. Yeah, he would say you've gone mad.
Why?
Why? I guess because it's something he doesn't value, he hasn't had any thoughts or interest in. So it would be conflicting with his desires of what is a good life, what is what is successful, the definition of success. In his case, for his son, you know, I would not be fulfilling his ideas of a good life.
What are his ideas of a good life?
What are his ideas of a good life? Buy a house, settle down with a, you know, get married, have a couple of kids, dog, cat, work for the rest of my life. Retire when I'm 65. Flap around a bit in the meantime.
And then?
And then? Get old, die.
So that's a successful life, huh? How many of you will be satisfied with that kind of life? You?
No.
Phil?
Yeah, I'll be happy.
Really? Why not? That's the hardest of you.
I'm sure other people around here would be too. They're just not saying so, you know. Of course, that'd be good.
Well, as I was saying, were you here on Sunday?
Was I?
Yes.
No.
I gave a talk about how there's only two kinds of people could be happy in this world.
<Very good. laughs>
One is the perfect transcendentalist who is beyond all material desires. And the second is someone who's just completely unaware of spiritual life and couldn't care less and just lives for the moment. That kind of person can give the image of being happy in this world. Everybody else in between suffers. You're not a complete material fool, and you're not a perfect transcendentalist. You suffer to varying degrees. You see, I mean, Phil made a good point. Yeah, there'd be a lot of people who they'd be fine with all that. Why settle for just a few years of flapping around and then you die? Why settle for only that? Could there be something more to be had? That's the important point to ask about your desires. Could there be something more to be had? Do you think there's something more to be had, Phil?
Oh, sure. I was just saying I'd be happy with that. I'll be happy with better things as well.
Okay.
So I'm willing to settle with, you know, my own house, family, whatever, grow and buy this.
Okay. After you grow old and die, then what?
I don't
know. So you're willing to spend some years in ignorance just to die, and where you go, you don't know, right? How many people here could live like that?
I have at the moment.
Okay, one? Anyone else? Could you live like that?
No.
Well, maybe we shouldn't be living like that, but that's our culture, isn't it? What is it because of that?
So you blame on things outside of you.
Well, it's still everyone's own choice what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're different colour hairs.
Now, if you can get control of your desires, then you can shape them, and you're in the driver's seat. Otherwise, you'll notice many times you're like riding in the back of the car, and you, the car's out of control. If we don't have any program in our life for cultivating spiritual desire, then we must be overrun by material desire. So you have to take your pick. What do you go for, the spiritual or the material desire?
What would I go for?
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Why?
It's so much more. I get very excited, and it seems if I would have put a stop on that at this point in my life, I would. I couldn't. I can't. I'm. It's difficult to put into words. It's so much more satisfying and fulfilling than anything material.
Anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to cultivate spiritual desire. You also?
A spiritual desire?
Mm-hmm.
I think before I know Krishna consciousness, I feel something inside me that I'm going to live more than this life. I don't know. There's something inside me saying that this is not only for my life. And this body, this.
Alright, let's go at it this way. We're understanding that there is such a thing as desire, and some of you are understanding that you're going to have some kind of desire. You're not a stone, so therefore you have to manifest some kind of desire for something. Now, what do you think are the best kind of desires to have? What do you think?
Desires to know where you're going in the future, once you die, I suppose, and
the desire to know where you're going next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a concern for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you say, Bridget?
Desires that are good or bad or what's better, or
what's the best kind of desire to have?
I think both, in a way, because it shows how your sincerity. You're always going to get tested no matter what. It's just the way how you turn out and how you act on it. So if you have a somewhat negative desire, you can turn it around and make that into a sincere one and show your sincerity to Krishna.
Well, what do you think you should be desiring right now?
Become more spiritual, become to learn more about Krishna.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think you should be desiring right now?
Same, I suppose.
I desire enlightenment in my lifetime.
Well, you see, if you bring me a hammer, hit you on the head, and you'll see the light. In this lifetime. What do you mean by enlightenment?
Absolute total detachment.
It sounds like a negative. Yes, doesn't it? Detachment. A detached person is not attached to something.
Yes, that's right.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's your highest aspiration?
Well, it's to be purified to the extent that I can be of service, as opposed to caught in birth and late birth.
Desire to be a servant.
Yes.
So that's what, like, in the deepest chambers of your heart, that's what's beating. I want to be a servant. I want to be a servant.
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You already, already asked him. To yourself, to your senses. You're always serving something.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore.
Now, how many of you have a sense or a feeling for seeing how ordinary desires can't satisfy you? There's some problem about it. How many of you? Okay. Now, where do you think this problem comes from? Why is it there? You thought about it, Bruce? Why is there this problem that even if you get what you want, what you desire, it may not actually satisfy you?
Mm-hmm. I guess it suggests a hint of something else. I mean, if you're not being satisfied by, you know, the material senses, there must be something else.
What do you say?
I think it's when we get in touch with the soul part of ourselves that ignites the desire to look at more spiritual side of life and see material side becomes unfulfilling and compassionate.
Now, if you could, speaking to you all, if you all could transform your material attachments, attachment for material things, into something beneficial for yourself, in other words, what would you choose? What would you choose?
What would I choose? I'm not sure. It's a lot of my time is going to work, and from that, like, the income, like, to travel here, transport, and is that a material desire?
To.
Sorry, what was the question?
Is what a material desire?
Yeah.
Is what?
Employment, working. Is it? I don't know.
That's an honest statement. If you study Bhagavad Gita, you'll see that Krishna says you're entitled to doing your duty, working. but you're not entitled to think you're the enjoyer of the fruits of your labor. That's a hard one, it seems, because most people will say, well, if I'm not getting anything, if I'm not getting anything out of it for myself, then why should I do it? So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is introducing us to a whole world of how to perform what seem to be ordinary activities in such a way that Krishna enjoys the results. That's why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield in between two armies. To show you that Bhagavad Gita is not some kind of airy-fairy talk, or it's not some kind of vague talk. Many of us will be surprised to find out that there is a standard for what you do with your life. So Krishna is trying to teach that in Bhagavad Gita. What is the proper standard for your life? Otherwise you can waste a lot of time. Desire takes time, you know. You ever notice while you're desiring and thinking, you're not making any kind of physical movements, still the clock is ticking. With your mental desire body, you are moving. What Krishna tries to explain in Bhagavad Gita is that if you simply desire Krishna's pleasure, then you're not under the influence of the laws of nature anymore. That is real freedom. As long as your material existence is under the influence of the laws of nature, there'll always be deterioration in your life. For example, whenever someone asks me, how's my health? I just tell them the truth. I say, for the moment, it's okay. But I can certainly be sure that there'll be moments when the body is not healthy, right? Anyone else want to say something about this theme? What do you do with your desires? What do you seek to do?
I think a lot of desires I have, for me anyway, are habitual, and I seek to create new habits until those habits become a natural way of life for me.
Okay. So gradually you could assimilate Krishna conscious habits, and is that what you want to do?
Yes.
Okay. You come to the right place. You want to say something, Matt?
So we need to really realize who we are before we can go any further, I suppose. And to find out why we're here. That's the starting point.
Well, before you knew about Krishna consciousness, did you ever kind of sit down with Bridget and live in and say, you know, I wonder who we are?
I wonder why we were here, yeah. There's got to be a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even more than wondering why we're here, did you ever just say, you know, Bridget, who are we anyway? Do you ever remember saying anything like that?
No, it was more
about
what the point was here.
No.
Yeah.
So you used to have open-ended discussions about why are we here?
Oh, I was just in more angry or frustrated. I was like, well, what's the point of all this?
But what, you get angry at you would get angry at him in the past, and you would just say, what's the point of all this? What are we?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what would you say? Gee, I don't know. Or,
yeah. Before I found out about this, I did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you never thought. He never gave it a thought. Who am I anyway?
Well, we think we're
divine.
We think we're what we see.
What about you, Bruce? Did you ever kind of contemplate, like, well, who am I anyway?
Not really, no.
Fair enough.
And Vanessa, did you ever think about that? No. Who am I? What am I really? I mean, really? You ever, really? And what kind of answers did you come up with?
Is it tangible?
I realized it was part of something, but it's
not
open to you. Didn't make any effort to find out either. What about you, Martin?
Yeah, but not to the point of will. Real realization, that's the point of acknowledging the higher soul. I've looked at more of why I was in the prison magnet, why I was suffering, and went from there. And this shape comes over here.
Well, what do you think is the best thing to desire?
To know and understand yourself.
You're comfortable with it?
Yeah.
To know and understand yourself. What do you think is the best desire?
I teach another question.
Why? Would you have said that 6 months ago?
I don't know.
What would you have said 6 months ago?
If I had more money, I would buy more things.
And what would you buy back then if you had more money?
Probably a ticket to some other country or something.
Yeah. Why?
To run away.
Okay, you got to the other country, then what would you do?
Probably buy for more money so I could run away from there.
That was hard and fancy. And what was your ultimate desire?
What was my ultimate desire? Mm-hmm. Material desire.
Mm-hmm. The ultimate desire before?
To be a published writer.
A published writer? Mm-hmm. That was your biggest desire?
Yeah.
Well, did you come near that?
No. Not the kind of thing I wanted to publish.
What was your biggest desire?
At the moment, I can't fix it. It's changed quite often in the past. It was always changing, but now is to become more Christian conscious.
Where before that, though, what would have been your desire?
Oh, it was totally crazy.
Like what?
It worked shocking.
No.
Just everything, just mundane, like. More and more of just him so special, thinking for my own enjoyment.
Sounds pretty selfish, huh?
Yes.
Is that different from anybody else? You're looking for your own enjoyment, right? when you first met Bridget, or you knew her from when you were, because everybody living knows each other. You knew each other when you were little kids, huh?
I was in college,
you
know, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. What's the population of Libby?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know, it's pretty small. Well,
I'll say
one,
I'll do that. That's not as small as Otaki.
That roughly the same.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But Libby has all the shops.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about 5,000 people or something.
Probably roughly, yeah.
So, what was your desire when you first met?
Lust, I suppose.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
What did you think when you saw it?
Probably about the same amount.
Wow.
And yeah.
So you both said wow together, huh? This was in college?
No, I was at a party.
And you were fueled a little bit, you were...
Yeah.
So you just looked across the room and said, wow.
Yeah. Want to get onto it? Pretty much, yeah.
And you saw him looking for across the room and you said, wow. That shows you how when there's desire, things happen. Now why is it that we have this feeling that Krishna consciousness might be impossible for us or beyond us when Krishna consciousness is also based on desire? The process of bhakti yoga is instilling in you the qualifications necessary for acting with the highest desires. Wouldn't you like to do that? To act with the highest desires. Just like you're going from business to business, selling ads.
Well, this is hard to see. Mm-hmm. I can see a pretty girl across the side of the room and go, okay, lust, that's easy, or smell coffee and, okay. To see, as it were, Krishna consciousness.
To see what?
To see Krishna consciousness. I mean, I'll only desire something if I know it's there.
Oh, we were talking about this morning. You know it's there. Why do you assume that the only way to know something's there is by seeing?
Well, yeah. What I'm trying to say is if I don't know something exists, I won't desire it. So before I can desire something, I must have a taste of it being there, being here in this room. I guess it's easier to see a Krishna conscious person. So that may be something I will have a stronger desire for.
If you associate with Krishna conscious person.
Yeah. Read the books.
Yeah.
But what would stop you from doing that? Family and friends. Say, hey Bruce, I'm out there.
Just find out about it, it's hard if things hold off. To think, well, I just have to give everything up and do that. So then, just find a little bit, just find out a little bit and work off that and let it grow.
Mm-hmm. feeling we're almost got something, we're missing a major point here. Why wouldn't you desire Krishna? You can answer that question. Why wouldn't you? Yes, Bill?
Laziness.
Laziness. What do you think, Bruce?
Why wouldn't you?
I have to give up all my material desires, and that satisfies me sometimes.
Gee. Really? Give me an example of it. Give me an example of a material desire that satisfies you.
Material desire? Well, permanently, I haven't.
Well, isn't that the kind of satisfaction you want? Permanent? Or you'll just settle for a few flickering moments?
Well, at the moment, I'm settling for a few flickering moments. Would I like permanent satisfaction? Sure. Am I putting the effort into that end? Probably not.
Now, if I advocated to you, you meaning everyone here, I said, here is the process of bhakti yoga. You just do this, 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 and this, and everything will be fine. If I said that, what would you say?
Right.
You think <it. laughs> What would you say? No, I mean.
Okay.
You say great.
Okay.
What would you say more?
I'm
what would you say, Bruce?
Please.
And Phil?
You have to say, yeah, that's great.
And you guys? What?
It did seem like you said, so you wouldn't. Yeah, before we knew what it was, how to say that we would say yes.
So I'm trying to get some of you to see that you can raise your aspirations, you can raise the level of your hopes. They don't have to be just trapped so down near the ground. I guess, Bruce, sometimes in your work in science labs, you come across some college student who tells you, man, I'm going to be the next Einstein, or I'm going to be the next Nobel Prize winner. You ever run across kids like that?
Occasionally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can see that they have a vision for themselves that they're willing to sacrifice for. How many of you feel you have a vision that you're willing to sacrifice for? What's that?
Publishing a book.
Publishing a book. Now, what will this book do for you, and what will it do for others?
And what it will do for me, for my desire to be of service in some way, and what it could do for others is help victims to know that there is a way that they can not be victims.
Anyone else? What do you see as your ultimate desires?
Yeah. Oh, ultimate, sorry, I missed that crucial point.
Hmm?
Ultimate, I missed that crucial point.
Well, fortunately, you have a partner who doesn't say, okay, it's either that or me, take your pick. Well, would you be willing to experiment for a few months?
Yes.
Do you have anything to lose?
No.
You have nothing to lose but your chains. So why don't you try seriously chanting Hare Krishna for a few months, see what happens?
Mm-hmm.
If you win, you win big. Okay?
Yeah.
And if you think you might lose, then you've already lost so many times already, it won't make any difference. So this way you can gamble on Krishna. You can even try it, Bill. Nothing to lose. If you win, you win big. Try the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. See how your desires change when you start chanting. That's what you were impressed by, right? You notice your whole program of desires changed. You notice that too, Bridget? Your whole program of desires changed. So instead of like pinning all your hopes on him, like he's got to be the universe for me, he's got to supply everything I want, then it's a good relationship. You kind of took the pressure off of him, right? Because you understand he's a limited individual who's trying to serve the Supreme Unlimited. So you don't treat him like, you know, he's the fount of everything. You can't fully satisfy each other individually, but you can both work together for becoming Krishna conscious, and that way you'll be supremely satisfied.
I started to chant Hare Krishna, and I realized waste of money. Sometimes I condemn myself how stupid I waste my money. And what I'm doing, and maybe do it never again. I realized how to desire, which made me to my own slave.
We can transform these material desires into spiritual desires, then we're quite successful in our life. As I said before, we can't annihilate all desire. We're not stones. But now we have to find out the best way to desire. When you chant Hare Krishna, your original spiritual desires awaken in your heart. Just like when you're fast asleep at night and the alarm clock rings. The alarm clock is waking you up to your daytime activity. So if we give the Hare Krishna mantra a chance to transform our life, it'll do that. So some of you should take that seriously. Then you can not only be the master of your desires, but you can also teach others how to master their desires. Why should everybody suffer? You could explain so many things to younger persons. You guys have explained so many things to young couples. There's so much each one of you can do. Because of desire, you have this present body. If you want a better body, or if you want the ultimate, the spiritual body, then you have to change your present body. You change your present body through sound. The Hare Krishna mantra detaches you from the bodily conception of life. That's what's troubling you. Our point in discussing these things tonight is to kind of get you to face what's actually going on. Think about your desires and how you can purify them, whether they're worthwhile or not. Think about it. If you can take away one thing tonight, it should be that. Think about the power of your desires. Don't just live in the city mindlessly. Anything else before we break for dinner? I'm discussing this subject in this way to get you to see that you have the most powerful thing available, the power of desire. And that can be used properly or misused, just like a surgeon's knife can be used to save someone's life, or it can be used to, in the wrong hands, the surgeon's knife could cause a lot of havoc. So it's up to you to think about all these things. Now you're ready to gamble for a few months on chanting Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Do you chant before dawn for a certain period of time, and then how many times through the day?
Well,
do you work in the morning, sir?
Yes.
From what time to what time?
I leave the house at about 7:45.
Yeah. That's time enough for you to chant in the morning. What time do you take? What time do you go to sleep at night?
About 10:30.
Well, you get up. You go to sleep earlier, you can get up early.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'd be nice if you did all or as much as you can, all the chanting in the morning.
In the morning.
Yeah. But for now, just get started. The more you do in the morning, the better. You have some beads?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You tried to use them before?
Krishna Banka showed me how to use them.
Yeah. You're gonna try every day?
Yeah.
Okay. See what happens.
Okay.
You might be into something big. You know, even Bruce might start. You have your own room wherever you stay at the yeah. You just go in the privacy of your own room and get out your beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Did you see yourself doing it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Yeah? Yeah? How was it when you first started chanting? Did you just, when they just reach for some beads and say, what the heck, I'll give it a go, or? But you told me you were always keeping it a secret from your wife at first because.
Yeah, I was doing it. Yeah.
You go outside when you're in chance.
Yeah, yeah. I'll wake up in the morning.
Before she got up?
Yeah.
And you never suspected, huh?
No, I was just about to say
that. You never suspected he had another lover.
I thought I knew something was up.
Yeah, ladies are always like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what, that he's got something else on his mind?
Mm. Yeah, and it was a lot more heavier, and yeah, I could just a lot of things tonight, going on grandpa and stuff. And
so you're wondering what's going on.
And then I knew, you know, I threw a box. She wasn't very good at hiding things.
And meanwhile, you were saying your relationship up to that point had been getting a bit bad, so...
Yeah, it wouldn't have lasted at all.
So you were like in the last phases before the, well, let's just be friends.
Oh, and so many times there.
Hmm?
It was so close to her all the time, just that, I mean, we'd just fight constantly.
Because you'd just wore each other out.
Yeah.
I mean, what more could you do with each other, you know?
And then you start thinking something crucial, like that, and as you're saying, mm-hmm. you know, you're like, about the fighting and stuff like that, maybe you want to fight. Yeah.
He didn't date well, like some couples think. Well, we fried each other out, but maybe we just have some kids, then that'll add some zip and flavor. You ever thought that? To see you're like your friend when you join each other, get out into that department either. So he told me that at one point. How did you break it to her? Break the news to her? Just one day you just said, hey, you know, by the way,
I'm going to say, well, what
else
could
there
be? She was crying or something.
And
what else could there be?
Yeah.
And I sit there and I said, well.
Why are you crying?
Because I was frustrated, you know, nothing was satisfying me at all. Like, I was never something to see it, but going out and there's nothing to do, and I was just.
Where to go and live in?
Yeah. You know,
that's definitely a sign your relationship was about to break. Fighting over where to go and live in.
Yeah. I was always like that though. I was always.
So this happened after you found the book.
Yeah, because I sort of knew something with that.
You didn't say it, so you didn't tell him you had found it, though.
No, but I was in the... I was so upset, because I thought... Because I wasn't really... Into it at that stage, I thought, well, if I leave it, it might go away, sort of thing. You know, because I didn't understand it.
Oh, you tried reading it, or you read all of it?
I didn't read any of it. I just sort of... I threw it there and I thought, well, if I just... But see, that's not there, then it's not there, and I'll just leave it, and it just... Why not teach me? Just being ignorant, really. And then, yeah. And I decided to go because I was just so frustrated all the time.
Then you just, as you're saying, you're just, well, what is it? Like, what is life about or like that? You're crying and you say, here's the chance, I can try.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you do then?
Well, this is what I've been doing. I've been chanting when I've been doing a tree round something. Yeah. I was chanting and I said, look, give it a go, just try it. I said, just try it for 2 or 3 weeks. I said, just read a little bit and it will help. Yeah.
What did you do then?
I read 2 books.
You read more than a sentence today.
Yeah, it's not that great. It's seen you there, so. And it was, yeah. Just went from there. Mm-hmm. Read a lot. And I was chanting, I said 1 a day or something, and. Yeah.
So what happened is that your desires changed because of the process of Krishna consciousness. It's not that you stopped desiring, but the type of desires that you had changed. It went from material to spiritual. So you can do the same thing. Grace you could offer. You could become a holy man. Yeah. Experience in spiritual science. Martin's already chanting it. How much do you chant?
It's
Mm-hmm. You're slowly increasing.
That's the thing of it.
Oh.
So it's the vision, the dream,
And Bridget, how many did you tell me your share?
I'm going on.
Okay.
I was going up to wake up to type out when I went in.
All right. And you're chanting the full, yeah. And Pepe, you're chanting also.
Up and down every day.
You try. All right, so you should get some beads tonight.
I've got some beads.
Oh, you got some.
You
start using them. How do you use them?
Yeah.
Someone taught you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll encourage you. You'll be victorious.
Thank you.
Right? You can start tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And keep a steady amount and gradually increase, just like Bridget's doing. All right, I don't want to keep you all from dinner. It's been a very interesting discussion. It's one that requires thought. I had to think deeply about what you all were saying. At least one person is coming forward for chanting. That's good. Then you'll see your desires change. Instead of you're being swallowed up by the flames of material desire, you'll be swallowed up by the spiritual flames of spiritual desire. It must be desire. The goal, however, is to have spiritual desires. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please have dinner.
Thank you.